God,
grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Okay. So this workshop is going to be from 10:30 until noon. So it's a 90-minute. We have a lot to go through. Are there any newcomers here today? Who want to introduce themselves? Is there anyone returning to see how? Do you want to just say your name?
Carmen.
Hi, Carmen.
Carmen, welcome.
Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
Michelle, welcome.
Randy.
Hi, Randy.
Welcome back. Is there?
And Sue.
And Sue.
Welcome. Any other newcomers?
Are we turning? Okay. And is there anyone celebrating a milestone? Okay. Well, we've all got today, right? Okay. So I want to encourage you to have pen and paper handy, because we're going to ask, you know, some questions and things for you to think about, and then try and do some sharing. In keeping with the tools of the program, you may pitch if you have 30 days. Those with 7 days of continuous See How Abstinence may pitch if their pitching has been discussed with their sponsor. There is no abstinent requirement to ask questions. And the 12th tradition states that anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And keeping with that, we ask that there be no recording or photography during the convention. Please keep everybody's anonymity, especially with social media. And the session is being recorded. I should be in front of the microphone. And so anybody that shares, that comes to the microphone, you'll need to sign a release. And Maria's got that. She'll hand that out. So when you are speaking, please keep your content to conference-approved literature and keep outside issues outside, please. And see how website. Okay, and a reminder, the workshop is being recorded and reviewed by the See How WSO Board or its delegates. Yes, I should. I will start doing that right now. And actually, Sonia, I'm going to hand it to you to do our opening.
Okay. Test, test. Good morning, everyone. Congratulations for getting here. What a success we are. Woo! How was that breakfast, huh? Did you guys enjoy that? I brought mine from LA in an ice chest. Okay. So, I'm so excited about, Linda's really awesome, and I don't know about you, but conferences I go to, I feel like people sit up here, and some share their experience, strength, and hope from their heart, but some talk at you. Maybe it's my interpretation, they feel shamed or beat up, I don't know. But we want you to be part of this, and so we want you to reflect on that burning question. Why did you want to come to this workshop today? Maybe you were looking at it last night and thinking about, well, which workshop should I go to? And, well, I really need to know about this one. What question do you want answered by the end of this workshop? And just to contemplate on that, so we're going to have you make this your workshop. Right? Can you get a round of applause for that? Woo! Thank you, Linda. So, any burning questions?
We want to move into that right now.
There's a mic right there, right? You don't have to, but I would like that.
My name's Randy. I'm a compulsive eater. We were signing it.
You can usually sign it after, too.
Yeah. I'll tell you.
Okay.
My question is, what do you do when the questions seem repetitive and or boring? And you're an impatient person who doesn't want to wait through that.
Which questions do you...
As a sponsor or sponsee?
As a sponsee, yes.
Do you know which questions you're working on?
No. I'm just returning.
But which questions, do you have a particular, like, you're doing the first 30 days.
I've just got here.
Okay, so we know what questions he's talking about, yeah. Right? I've done those about, I think, 200 times. I'm not proud.
Okay. Actually, Maria, do you mind bringing the microphone around? I think there's enough
which
paper.
One?
And I'll bring that around to get them to sign up.
Okay. Yeah, what else?
Bernie, question, come to the microphone.
Lots of tools.
Oh, sure.
Do you have
different
tools?
Actually, I'd just like to make a suggestion that worked really well in the last workshop.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can make sure
they
you sign this after.
Sheet there, mm-hmm. And we just went up and signed it, so she doesn't have to run back and forth.
Okay.
After we spoke.
So what
but
do you mean, put the mic?
No, the sign-in sheet after we spoke, we finished, went up there, and walked back around.
I like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, but then let's not make him come up. Did you sign it already?
Do you have to sign it if you've signed it in another one?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, hi, I'm Molly, compulsive overeater. I would just like to hear experience, strength, and hope of various people, how they're working the seven tools.
Thank you. I'm Cheryl, compulsive eater. I just suck at the phone calls. Okay, I do the everything else but those three phone calls a day. So, sorry to say the bad word suck. Sorry. My mother.
Okay. Anybody else?
Hi, I'm Ruth, compulsive eater. I, too, used to dread the outreach calls and worry about them and get nervous and think I was going to bother somebody and call at the wrong time and, oh, what are they going to think? And I finally got over myself and decided a way to organize it was to do one with breakfast, one with lunch, and one with dinner. And then they don't all pile up at the end of the day, and I've got them kind of done. Also, my sponsor doesn't require me to make sure I talk with a live person. So oftentimes I will just leave a message. But I do like that live connection. So sometimes if I've got a little extra time, I will make a few more outreach calls just so I can talk to someone face-to-face on the phone. Anyway, thanks.
Are there any more? Before we start getting into solutions, yeah, I want to address what we want to do, what you want to do for the workshop. What you want from it?
Oh, go ahead.
I'm Katie. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Katie.
Hi. I find myself continually slipping because I don't prepare the food ahead of time. I find I'm so used to this highly flavored food that I find abstinent food really boring, and I make it really boring. So I continually slip from the boredom and the not preparing. I want to work my program as a vegan, so I want to get some resources for that. But I don't really know if I can work my program as a vegan because I'm very, very used to heavy food, and I just find I'm not making a transition. Thank you.
So let's do two more, and then we'll go. Here you go.
Karen, a compulsive eater, I want to know your opinion on typing versus handwriting, if it matters.
Hi, and I'm Vicky. I'm a compulsive eater. And mine has to do with the phone bridge meetings. I'm great at making meetings face-to-face, but sort of a reluctant phone bridger. And I know I'm going to have to do these things because next spring we're going on the road with an RV full-time for the next few years, and that's going to be my lifeline. So any help that I can get for that, I'd appreciate.
So I have the other problem. I have only face-to-face missions meetings, and I'm a reluctant, rather than just reluctant phone bridger, the phone bridge people never go to face-to-face meetings. That's what I was trying to say. So it's the other way.
Okay.
Instead of a reluctant phone bridger, a reluctant going to meeting person, even though there's one that they can go to, they are still reluctant to go.
Okay. Okay, so we're going to hang on to this.
Okay, so what, one of the things, do you want to hang out somewhere? So tools help us to recover three levels, physical, emotional, spiritual. We're going to kind of try and address that. The food prep, being boring, there's a workshop this afternoon on spiritual, the weighing and measuring and how that's a spiritual program. So, keeping in mind tools that help us recover on all three levels. First tool is our food plan. Okay, so how does, and I want you to write this down. Okay, so how does your food plan help you on a physical level? Oh, shoot, sorry.
Okay, the tools help us to recover on all three levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual, right? Page 39, Forever Abstinent book. So write down how the food plan, the first tool that we've got, how does that help you on the physical level? Just a couple words. And then how does it help you on the physical level? I know. Emotional level. Yeah, you... No, I want you to write it down. Sorry. That's what happens when I don't speak in the microphone.
Write down the question?
No, your thoughts. So write down your thoughts on how the tools help you to recover, the tool of having a food plan. The physical stuff may be kind of obvious. Now, what does it do emotionally? Somebody talked about it being boring. And then what does it do for you spiritually? How is having a food plan, prepping your food, writing it down, weighing, measuring? You have some spirituality in there? Okay. So, and again, this afternoon there's a workshop on the spirituality of weighing and measuring. So we're kind of not going to talk about this one too much because that's going to be addressed later on. Okay, so let's have just for time's sake, have one person share on how having a food plan helps your physical recovery.
I do notice that when I am abstinent, I am not so stiff. I move around easier. I have more energy. I'm really like a smoking hot babe when I'm thin. So that helps my self-esteem.
Okay, super. Thank you. And let's have somebody share on emotionally. How does having a food plan help your emotional recovery?
Rebecca, compulsive overeater, and my emotions stay more in check except right before eating time, and I am a teacher, and my classes are back-to-back, so the class right around when lunchtime would be, I say, go get yourself something to eat. I'm going to sit here and eat my lunch for 10 minutes so that I don't chew off their heads, and so other than that, it keeps me pretty stable. Thank you.
That's good for your students, probably. And then what about spiritually? That's kind of a tough one.
Anybody?
I should ask, is there abstinence requirement to speak?
Oh, you know what? Yes, there is. Okay. Sorry. 7 days if your sponsor
hallelujah.
Approves it.
Okay. Spiritually, it helps me. It humbles me to remind myself that I'm doing this because I'm doing this for a reason. It brings me down to remember that I'm trying to connect with my higher power. So I'm humble enough to willing to do the work. So spiritually, I feel on a more open spiritually.
Thank you. Okay. All right, let's go ahead and move on to literature and writing. And do you mind reading this?
Sonia, compulsive overeater. Literature and writing. We use Alcoholics Anonymous, the Big Book, and AA's 12 Steps and 12 Tradition as tools of examination and release. Our writing assignments for the first 30 days are taken from them. When we substitute the word compulsive eater for alcoholic and food for alcohol, we feel we identify absolutely. We believe that negative thinking is a large part of our disease, so we are learning one day at a time to abstain from negative thinking.
Okay, so we believe that negative thinking is a large part of our disease. Okay, what are some things, how can the reading, the writing, using AA literature, how does that free you from negative thinking? And let's have some folks share on that. And there also, I'm sorry, a question came up about handwriting versus typing. So if anybody wants to address that as well.
I'm Lynn, and I am a compulsive reader. I find that if I'm not writing, I'm really not connecting with my program as much. I take it for granted. So it's really important. I try to write every night, and I don't believe in texting my food or having my sponsees text. I believe it's really important that we connect with one another. Texting is just too impersonal, and I know for me, intimacy is an issue, so it's very important that I talk to a person, and even on the phone, it's, you know, there's a safety in it, but it's also a way of avoiding the intimacy of having someone to talk to.
Just a reminder, if you are speaking and you haven't signed the waiver, there's the sign sheet over here in the front. Make sure you sign in before the end of the tool workshop is finished.
Yes. Good morning. I'm Tammy, and I'm a compulsive eater. I have never done an AA program before I came here, which I started July 4th of 2016. And when somebody was talking about this as a tool, I always thought I was a super positive, upbeat person until I started doing this program, and then I was really kind of appalled at how much my negative thinking was just a really big part of how I internally talk to myself and just things I would say. So for me, the negative thinking is huge because for such a long time I was so unconscious about it. And the gift of this program is for me to start really seeing it, which is horrifying, but then taking responsibility and able to actually shift gears and start changing that pattern. So I'm very thankful.
So I had that question about typing versus writing, and so I Googled it. So if you Google typing versus writing, a lot of very good articles come out. And what I came away with was that both are good. And if you prefer one over the other, then do it. Like, if you're not going to write, you know, if you're like, well, they say, if you can use it as an excuse. If they say writing is best and I've got to type, because, you know, don't use it as an excuse. Do what feels good. But it kind of left me with the impression that handwriting is good for receiving, I don't know what they probably called it, stream of consciousness or something like that. But when I want to talk to God and I want him to talk to me, I like to get out a pen. And it feels like a blessing. If I'm just, you know, writing down my food, or if I'm, you know, something that's just more businessy, then, but both were good. But you can Google it. And there's a lot of thought about it out there. When I want to talk to God and I want him to talk to me, Sometimes I write it out in my journal. I say, "Dear God, this is what I'm thinking. This is I'm so mad. I'm so sad. I'm so glad. Whatever." And as I listen and try to determine what he's saying back to me, it works better for me with a pen in my hand.
Hi, this is Q, and just an addendum to that, one of my sponsees shared that when you're writing, sometimes to get an answer, switch, if you're right-handed, switch to your left hand and write out in your left hand, and it's amazing what comes out. So just try it. That's okay.
I'm going to pass the mic. Sorry about that. And,
yeah, can you come up and sign the waiver?
I'll pass it to
you. Haven't
her.
Signed it yet, Q?
Okay. Thank you. I'm Cheryl Kapulsviter. And just recently, I was texting my food to my sponsor, and I was doing it a little more and more. And so she called me up, and it was great. And she just said, you know, texting can turn into vague. And my issue is I'm vague. Or, it can, you know, there's a way to hide in vagueness. So no more texting of the food, which works for me. When it comes to writing, that's just so beneficial for me because it's like throwing up my emotions onto paper, and it pulls out whatever's bothering me onto the paper. But there's something different for me when it comes to writing by hand. It helps me connect with me. I slow down and actually have to feel what it is I'm feeling and describe and write it out, because for decades I didn't know emotions or their names. And so becoming more conscious of emotions helps a whole lot, and it's made a huge difference. And it helps me connect with my higher power because I've connected with myself first.
This is the last one on this topic.
Thanks. Thanks, everyone. My name is Vicki. I'm a compulsive eater. And the original question about writing had to do with negativity and how writing helps us overcome negativity. My sponsor has me write down a gratitude list. And I actually turn it into a thank you letter to God every morning. And for me, like, if I don't start my day with a thank you letter for God, it's not as good a day. Just writing those thank yous turns around my emotions and sets me up for a good day, because I start out by appreciating all the good stuff that's happened. And over the years, it has just totally changed my opinion. Like when we moved back here from New Zealand, I had all my jewelry stolen from me. And there were heirloom pieces too. You know, it was really hard. But I was able to say to God, thank you for all the years that I had that stuff. Thank you for, you know, just that gift of that experience of that. And that just, it really has changed my heart a lot, so that I'm able, even in the bad stuff, to find the thank you in it.
Thank you. That was a nice way to end that, this little section. Okay, so we've got negative thinking. Would you read the next part on anonymity, please?
Yes, you do.
Okay. It's my favorite tool, anonymity. Who you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here. When we meet another member in the outside world, we do not mention that they are members of CEA HOW.
Okay, so I looked up the definition of anonymity, and it means basically the state or quality of being anonymous. All right, so I looked up anonymous. Okay, so of unknown name, authorship, or origin, not named or identified, lacking distinction, individuality, recognizability. Okay, so kind of take that in for a minute. You know, when I think of anonymity in the program, I think of not naming names, which, you know, not having face-to-face meetings is pretty easy. This woman on the phone bridge today. Okay, so of unknown name, authorship, or origin, not named or identified, lacking distinction, individuality, or recognizability. Okay, yeah, let's go ahead and do some sharing.
Good morning. My name is Barbara, compulsive eater from Albuquerque. And when I deal with the anonymity, invariably somebody says, how do you know this person? And that's the sticky part, you know. And I try in advance, if I'm referring to, you know, if there's two of us standing next to each other, I think about who the person who's asking the question, if they know someone that we both know. And I will say to them, well, you know, that's a friend of Louise's. We met through Louise. And if I can't come up with anything, I usually will tell them we met in prison or in a police lineup. So that usually kind of gets them on a different subject.
Hi, I'm Lindy at Compulsive Eater in Recovery.
For everyone, because the engineer's here. He's gonna make it warmer.
In the program, knowing that we're all there for the same thing, and that there's no need for I'm special, because a lot of times addicts have stuff like large egos and big shotism, and they have to let everybody know what they do and how they do it. And when that's there, that immediately kind of puts a wall up sometimes with people, like, oh, I'm not what she is or he is. And it's so freeing to be able to just be a person, you know, a person with a common problem. So...
And tell me how that, for anonymity, how do you use that?
It doesn't matter who you are, you know. We're all human beings. We're all in this together. And you not knowing what I do or where I live or any of that stuff keeps it very safe for a lot of people, because I'm pretty much an extrovert, but there's a lot of people that are not. And they don't want to reveal too much about themselves, especially at the beginning. And then they kind of loosen up. But just to be human with a human emotion and all that stuff, not to be singled out as different, you know.
Oh, I wanted to add that also... I find that, you know, we share pretty intimately, and, you know, the crazy thinking that we did or that I did, other people can relate to, and you know that there's times that there's laughter about, you know, I pulled food out of the trash and ate it, and then there's nodding heads and some giggling. Yeah, so you know a lot more about me than my family or my friends know about me. And it's a very different thing. So, you know, maybe you don't know what I do for a living. And, you know, like you said, you don't really need to know necessarily, because we, same issue and have a deeper connection, in my opinion.
Sorry, go ahead. Thank you. Hi, I'm Doreen from Albuquerque. And to me, anonymity is very spiritual and it's very sacred. And we also, these rooms and these telephone calls we make are meant to keep all of us safe, and so that we can share from our deepest experience and gut. And if I feel that I have told someone something and they're going to make an outreach call to someone else and say, hey, do you know what Doreen did the other day? You know, my trust level goes way down. And so And of course, to me, that's gossip. And so when I have a sponsee that comes to me and wants to tell me some juicy piece of information out of care and concern, I always let them know that that's not appropriate. You know, if what you know about someone is affecting your program, your peace, your serenity, share that with me without a name attached, and then we can talk about the step to use, the slogan to implement, etc. So anonymity is really important if you want to be safe, if I want to be safe, and the newcomer wants to be safe. Thank you.
Thank you. So we're keeping all this stuff up on the wall if you want to take notes on it, you know, later on, or a suggestion if you want to take pictures of the notes. Save yourself the trouble of writing, although we discussed handwriting. Good thing. Okay, next tool, telephone calls. We are required to make 4 calls a day, 1 to our sponsor and 3 to other CHOW members. The phone is like a lifeline. We need the contact. It can be like a mini meeting. Yesterday when I came in here, there were tables and chairs, and so I had this idea we were going to break into little small groups and everybody was going to have a different topic to share about. That evidently didn't happen. Or it changed, so we're going to go with the flow and continue sharing together, if that's all right with everybody. Okay. Why do we make 3 calls every day? Why 3? Why? Oh, good.
Hi, it's Tammy, compulsive eater. When I started the program a little bit over a year ago, I thought it was the stupidest thing in the world to have to do those calls. And for me, one of the things I realized is when I have slipped in the past, it's because I really isolated myself. So I kind of reverse engineer the tools and really have experienced and believe that these tools are there purposely to keep me in the program and in a healthy way. So what I have experienced is that doing the calls helps keep me out of isolation, and by staying out of isolation, I stay on the program, and that's my experience. So it's not if I like it or don't like it. It's if I do it, I have a greater chance of staying abstinent for me. So thank you.
Thanks. Name's Aretha. I'm a compulsive eater. It says make 3 calls a day. And it's really, to me, it's 4 calls a day because I got to make 1 to my sponsor and talk to my sponsor. 3 calls a day, I came into the program, and my sponsor, every sponsor I've ever had says, you make 3 calls a day talk to 3 people, not just make the calls. You know, because I've had sponsors that say, well, I made 3 calls, but did you talk to anybody? No, I just made the 3 calls, and I left a message. And my sponsor always said, you make 3 calls and actually talk. So that's what I do. I make 3 calls. I keep calling until I actually get someone, and I get 3 people to talk to, because that's the key to me is working my program, is making sure that I make contact with people, and I'm there for them when they call back. And I also have had people say, well, I'm making a call back to you. That counts for you. That don't count for me. It counts for you. And you making that call, and you talking to me. I still got to make my call.
Hi, Marcy, compulsive overeater. I was told we make 3 calls a day in the good time, so when we do have struggles, we've built relationships that we feel comfortable about making calls in the hard times.
I'm Sonia, compulsive overeater. I'd like to share on that. I'm so nervous. Okay, I like where it says phone calls suck. So for me, when I'm approaching a phone call, I have that negative thing comes up. But I trick my disease. A lot of you know me.
I'm a spiritual gangster, so I have to trick my disease. And I'm like, I'm just going to act as if and call this person anyway. And late at night, I call Hawaii a lot. I have a lot of my people in Hawaii that I call. And then early in the morning, if I'm up like at 3 a.m., I call New York. So I have a like list of different numbers. But I also have specific questions when I call. Like someone else said, their food is boring. People who, like, I met at the conference have years of abstinence and sponsor 12 people. I'm like, I go over them and I'm like, okay, so what do you eat? And I get their phone number and I'm like, okay, so how do you make this? I actually call them, and I found out that people cook like on Wednesday and Sunday, and they roast these amazing veg. I'm like hearing these meal plans that are like phenomenal. And I'm like going, oh my God, you can eat that. Oh, you can do that. Oh. And then they put it in Tupperware and they don't cook every day and then think it's boring. So a lot of phone calls can answer a lot of these questions up here about, and even the questions, repetitive questions are boring. I would outreach people and say, well, why are they asking that? And then I would get this input of like, well, where does this remind you of in your childhood where you would do this with food? Like going at a deeper level with the questions. And maybe a lot of times not make it so boring. Like I would just dive in. So I call people and tell them, like, I feel bored with this question. You know, what would you answer to that? So the phone calls can be pretty amazing. Okay, thanks.
Hi, I'm Judith. I'm a compulsive eater. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Okay. So when I got back into the program after the second time, after 10 years, my group in Las Vegas was pretty lethargic. And sometimes I would have to call like 40 people to get one person or two people or three people to answer. But I would, you know, finally get people, and then because I was determined. I thought, I'm going to do it right this time. I'm not going to do a halfway recovery like the first time and go out again. So then what I discovered was that because it was kind of like a stagnant period for that time, that people didn't have a lot to talk about. They'd be shocked that I'd actually be calling them. And so what I would think of was, well, why don't I just ask them about whatever I wrote on that morning that I didn't get a full time with my sponsor to talk about. And then we would get into these deep discussions. And also the list was stagnant because some of those people had moved away. So I found myself making friends with people in San Diego, Reno, Seattle, all over the place. So there is so much wisdom in the seven tools, and my recovery has been so much deeper this time because I did do the seven tools. Like I'm compulsive and obsessive, so I did them down to the very cellular level of my being, and it pays off big time because you make lots of friends. So thanks for letting me share.
Yeah, thanks. We're going to go ahead and move on to the next question. And just like you said, you know, I encourage you to talk to one another. And as for phone calls, I talked to my sponsors yesterday. I had a really hard time getting a hold of people. I'm like, yeah, well, we were all on our way here. You know, that's so. PI said, plan on having your morning meeting kind of, you know, small attendance because we're all going to be here. Okay, what do you want to have happen on a call? You're brand new. What do you kind of expect as you're dialing? What do you want to have happen?
Not answer.
Yeah.
I'm Gloria Grateful Compulsive Overeater. What I would like to happen on a call is when people are brand new, the worst thing, I'm Gloria, I'm making an outreach call. And then they sit by. I don't get anything from that. I would rather you say, hello, I'm Gloria. How's your day? How's your program? What are you doing on your program? Ask questions, especially if you're new. But if you just call and say, hi, this is Gloria, I'm making an outreach call. It's like you you have to do it, you don't want to do it. So there's no conversation there. And when you try to implement a conversation, they say, well, nice talking to you, bye. So, you know, put some food in that call so you can get something out of it.
Hi, thank you. I'm Lisa, compulsive eater. What do I want to have happen on a call? I guess if I have something that's really bothering me, I may call 3-4 people just to be able to hear myself say it out loud and get it outside of my head. And I find that the more I do that sort of thing, the more I develop these friendships with people whom I may never meet and whose faces I only imagine. And it's really changed me. I was a person who started out going, there's no way I'm going to make these 3 phone calls. And then my sponsor would say, did you make your calls? And I was, yeah. So she had me start writing them down and telling her in the morning, and it changed my life. Thanks.
Hi, Barbara, compulsive eater from Albuquerque. Very often I'll get a call from a newcomer, and you can hear the trepidation in their voice. And whatever they want to do in a conversation, I let them, because if they've got the cojones to make the phone call, I want to praise them. So if somebody calls up and says, I'm so-and-so, and I'm just new getting into the program, I say, well, bless your heart, thank you so much for getting up and making that phone call. I really appreciate it. Where are you from? You know, and how did you hear about See How? Just little pleasantries. And I just tell them over and over how much I appreciate hearing from them and that I know how hard it is to make that phone call. And this, sometimes it leads to a deeper conversation, and sometimes it's just a matter of exchanging pleasantries and we're done, but they can cross that off their list. And what I want to do is leave them with the experience that they've done their work. It's recognized as something that we all agree to do as requirements for this recovery. And support them in that. Because it's hard enough to dial the phone to a stranger. So thank you.
I'm Vicki, a compulsive overeater, and I just wanted to add about newcomers, too. As a person who's been in program for a while, the other thing I really try to do is to make phone calls to newcomers, because for them, just to have a voice of somebody who actually wasn't afraid to call them and break the ice, and I'll call somebody like if you know, when I sit here, them, I take always the names of new people at meetings, and then I go up to them and talk to them afterwards, and then I'll give them a call in the next couple of days. It's a way of welcoming them into program and just making them more committed to their recovery.
Thank you. I think that is a really important thing. We got to get to you.
Okay.
Do you want to come up here since we got... got a microphone up here, if you don't mind standing from the group, and then we're gonna move on after this.
My name is Lee. I'm compulsive eater. I think when I make a call, it's funny, yeah, but sometimes you really get like a spiritual connection. I remember one time I made a call, and I was early on in my recovery, and a lady, she answered the phone. She said, "Wow, thank you so much for calling." She says, right now, I've been just circling around Jack in the Box. She said, I really, my sponsor told me early on, he said, look, whenever you make those calls, he said, you remember now, this is a spiritual program. And he said, whenever you make those calls, he said, deep down inside every one of us is the idea of God, is the fundamental idea of God. So every time you make a call, you really connect him with your higher power. So That's what we need in order to keep going. Some days it's 3 calls a day. Sometimes it's 10. You never know how many it's going to take.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to write that up here. Well, I'll write it in a minute. Okay, sorry. Go ahead. I'm going to skip to
the next three. Okay, I'm going to head on to this one. And this is something, you know, I encourage you to take notes on. What are some barriers to making outreach calls?
I'm Cheryl, compulsive eater, and I've always struggled with the outreach calls. I wish it could be easier. I don't talk to anybody. I've just never been a phone person with even before program with other people. So when I came with this, I thought, what do I say? And so I do it. It's very hard. I don't know what to say, and then I also. How long are you supposed to talk? It's like, God, how long do? What do we have to say? You know, but I do it. But it is the barrier of is fear, and time on the phone.
Hi, I'm Terry, compulsive eater. I think I've been in program 2 years, and I think the outreach calls have been the hardest thing for me. And although I have to say, yesterday when I drove here from Los Angeles, I made like 4, and that felt pretty good. Like I'm on my way to program, you know, convention, and I'm going to do this. But I think the barrier is, am I going to complain? Will they want to hear from me? You know, do these people, it's just like bad self-talk. Do I have something interesting? Will it make me feel better or worse when I hang up? You know, so it's, there's a lot of barriers. And what I've heard today, though, I think can really be helpful. So thank you.
Can you say one more time? Will I complain?
Oh. Will it sound like I'm complaining? Will they want to hear from me? Yeah, that's all.
Okay. Can you come up and sign your release?
Right here. Hi, I'm Q, and even though I'm in my 70s, I'm a techie. You know, I love Skype, and I have a friend over in Hawaii who has said that's starting to save her life. It's getting her out of isolation because she's seeing someone face-to-face when you can't get to a meeting. And I have talked face-to-face with people in England, New Zealand, Australia, and it's just been wonderful, wonderful. And so get out of that fear of these technical things that are out there for us. They make it so much easier. And you can even have a conference call. You can have 4 people on the screen at one time. I haven't done that one yet, but I just, when I was setting up Skype for my husband, it showed how, you could have 4 people. Wonderful, you know, 1, 2, 3. So it's something to look forward to, and you can have a mini meeting. They talk about how the phone calls can be mini meetings, and I know someone tried doing Skype meetings, and they didn't last very long. But I think if we do it on a daily basis, and when somebody says, I don't know who to call, I said, well, why don't you get that outreach list? There's only 18 pages of phone numbers. You know, and just put your finger and point to someone and call someone that you've never known. I mean, they don't know you. You don't know them. So it doesn't matter what you say. You know, that anonymity is right there because it you just don't see it. And it's the other thing about the phone bridge. It's so neat. I'm hearing voices that I recognize. and now I can put a face to it, you know, but now And these conventions are so great because you meet people that you sponsored a long time ago and you could put a face to that and you get the hugs and everything. But you can get those on the phone because sometimes when somebody's down, I'll just say, well, I'll give you a hug, 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 hug. You know, that's my, you know, connection. So, and I've already signed.
So we need to have a workshop on how to use Skype because I don't know how to do that. And I'm from Silicon Valley. Yeah. Yeah, ask a 12-year-old. Do you want to get Pat?
I just wanted to do what she said.
Yeah.
First time is really good, too.
Yeah, we can add on to that.
FaceTime is when you call somebody up and you hit the FaceTime and you're talking face to face.
Okay, so one of the biggest barriers to me is I don't have time for this. I am weighing and measuring and grocery shopping and going to work and listening to a phone bridge on my way to work. I got to talk to my sponsor, my sponsee. I have some other commitments in another program. I don't have time for this. So that's my biggest barrier. Let's do a couple more.
Hi, Marcy, compulsive overeater. If I don't make my phone calls on the way to work, I talk to people all day long at work. And when I get in my car to drive home, I have no desire to talk to anybody. So I've got to make sure that I do them early in the morning, because if not, it's not happening when I get out of work.
There you go.
I'm Stephanie, and one of the barriers that I have with it is I don't know when to call. I'm a stay-at-home mom, and I don't get up early, and I don't want to call somebody who's at work. Like, that is horrifying to me. I don't want to interrupt their work day. So, and then at night, I'm crazy, so I don't want people to call me at night, you know, because I'm busy. So when to call is a huge challenge for me.
I'm going to abuse this microphone. I'll try not to too much. But one of the things that I've noticed as far as that issue is concerned is I am not expected to carry the boundaries of another person. So if somebody has got a cell phone, hopefully they have indicated either in the notes on the outreach list or that they have the boundaries to not answer the phone when they can't answer the phone.
Hi, Jude here. I live in the UK, so the time zone.
Welcome.
Thank you, everyone. It's great to be in Vegas and at the convention. And one of the questions I always get from sponsees is, well, you know, how do I know the time zone? Well, the apps for looking at time zones. And, you know, how do I know what their day is like? And I said, well, you know, the best way to call somebody, because we do phone bridge, is when you're on a phone bridge and you like to hear, you like what someone has said, take down their number, call them straight after the phone bridge, say, hi, my name is Jude, I live in London. When is a good time to call you? And they can put that in their diary.
I just want to share something in really quickly here. I'm Sonia, compulsive overeater. My spiritual gangster is like, people were like, can you keep your response? I had a sponsor say, can you keep your son quiet? I get my 10 minutes of uninterrupted time. And so I had to, and I used to eat over this stuff. A lot of you know I'm a chronic slipper. Coming back, I'm here to save my life. It's like, I tell people, oh, and my son might be talking in the background, and he might be yelling in the background, or I might be in the car. And I said, and he's my priority, so I just need to let you know that ahead of time. And so people who don't like hearing screaming kids, which I was one of those people before I had a kid, like, I tell the truth about my limitations, but I'm here to save my life. So I just thought that was a barrier for me. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Ginger, and I'm a compulsive eater. Okay. And one of the things I like to do on phone bridge, or excuse me, on phone calls, is I like to start my conversation, hi, this is Ginger, is this a good time? And so it just opens it up, because if it's not a good time, then, hey, let's talk another time. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Did you have something? Or okay, let's go ahead and also move on from this. Okay.
We have 4 minutes left, but I do want to hear from the lady from Mexico at least once. Can you imagine that, huh?
Yeah, awesome.
Buenos días, Lupita, comedora compulsiva de México.
Translator.
Good morning, I'm Lupita from Mexico, compulsive reader.
Hi.
Hello.
Para mí, las llamadas de contacto son primordiales.
For me, contacts are just basic.
Porque pone mi meta en primer lugar.
Because it puts my goal in first place.
Y a corto y a largo plazo.
For the short term as well as the long term.
Y por el día de hoy.
And for today.
¿Qué es lo mejor que puedo realizar?
What is the best that I can actually do?
Thank you.
Meetings is the next tool. Meetings makers make it. I used to hate that, but it's kind of true, right? We must attend 3 meetings a week. Those members who have at least 30 days of continuous CA how abstinence may pitch. Those members who have at least 7 days of continuous CA how abstinence may pitch if their pitching has been discussed with their sponsor.
Okay, so in your notes, meetings, how do they help us recover on a physical level, emotional, and spiritual? So for Phone Bridge, it's an interesting... Actually, what I would like to do, just because of the sake of time, is to have you write this and then use some time, lunch... We have time today to share on it with one another. So I apologize that we're going to... But we have 7 tools for 90 minutes.
Is anyone not signed that shared? Or anyone that hasn't signed?
Okay, and again, well, I'll leave... Or, you know what, I'll leave this up here. If you want to write stuff down on it, please do, and we'll keep this up during lunch. Okay, and so I'm going to go on to the next one. Service.
Service is abstinence. The greatest service is ourselves. Yay! Greatest service to ourselves. Thank you. Little ego there, right? Whoops. Okay. Service is coming to meetings on time, being a leader or speaker, volunteering to be a service person such as program chairperson, coffee person, treasurer, secretary, literature person, intergroup representative, etc. Service is CA how. Service is putting away chairs when necessary, picking up after a meeting, being quiet when a member is sharing. Service is one way to get involved in the program. Service is needed at all levels and at every meeting. Service is giving of ourselves to help CA How continue to function. Let's all get involved to help CA How, because we all know that service is
freedom from bondage
of self. Okay, the theme of the conference. Okay, freedom definition. The absence of coercion, necessity, or constraint in choice or action. Liberation from slavery or the power of another. Exemption from external control, interference, or regulation. Okay, and again, we'll keep these up. Thank you. So kind of keeping this in mind, again, doing some writing. These questions... How has abstinence in this program brought me freedom? Thinking about that. In this program, doing this program, how has it brought me freedom? No?
I'm Judith. I'm a compulsive eater. My second big shot at this, I got released from the bondage of food pretty early on. And I really wanted spiritual and emotional sobriety as well. I was able to see how compulsive and obsessive I am, not just about food, but about almost every area of my life. And I started and... You know, it came through the inventory and the spiritual process and putting aside the time to be with God in the morning and at night. And it's amazing that when I have the time, when I make the time in the morning and at night for the alone time with God, how there is...
all kinds of opportunities that open up during the day to feel free. I give my food, my sponsor insists on it verbally in the morning, and we give it, and it's done. I just eat that food. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not so good, you know, whatever. But I don't have to think about it anymore all day. And so that was the release. That's a huge freedom right there. And then the spiritual, to know that you're on your path and that it's being taken care of, turning it over, surrendering it, and saying, you're doing okay. You're just doing those little bitty steps every day. It is a lot of freedom. That's what I've looked for my whole life. And it's a very grateful thing. You know, thank you, God.
Elaine from Utah. So the thing that makes me smile about freedom, when I first started the program, I had family that were always pressuring me constantly to try something they'd made or try something they'd brought or isn't it good kind of answers to their questions. And it took me well over a year or more before they stopped doing that. And now it's such freedom to be able to go to my family functions and know that if I ask for a glass of water, they are fine with that. And they know that I'm not trying to hurt their feelings, that it's just my choice. And that has given me a lot of freedom.
Hi. I think for me, freedom from bondage of self, at a very young age, I was obsessed with myself, and I used food to quiet my head, and therefore the disease starts in my thinking. So I have to find other ways to quiet my head, and the way I do that is by being of service to you. And it gets me out of my selfish and self-centeredness, my ego, my stuff that causes me to eat in the first place. All my life I wanted peace and serenity, and I get that by being of service to other people, not in a codependent way, just asking other people, how are they, what do they need, anything. You know, I still have to take care of myself. I've heard, you know, try to be of service to other people, but don't forget to be of service to yourself, you know, and that's part of what I try to balance, is to be available to other people, but also to take care of myself first so I have it to give to other people. There's so many benefits to service that I can't even imagine, because before I got here, I would stutter before I would speak. I was very painfully shy. I would never talk in front of anyone. And it has changed everything about me. My first service commitment was a greeting position, so I get to stick my hand out and learn how to talk to people and be in a room full of people, which is something that I was not able to do when I was eating compulsively, sitting on my couch trying to, you know, shut my head up. There are so many things that I get from service that I can't even describe, the way that I get to be different and I get to be what God wants me to be by showing up, by suiting up, by just putting it out there. So I'm amazed and grateful what God can do.
Thank you. So I just got some clarity, because this is in a meeting, and you don't have to have 7 days of abstinence. You could have eaten this morning to ask questions or anything like that. So sorry about the misunderstanding. I got clarity from someone. So whoever sent this, thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you. And because this is very much, we're kind of doing solutions and discussion and thoughtfulness. So let's go ahead and do talking. And then we're going to take some time to do some questions.
Rebecca, compulsive overeater. This is a big one for me, for freedom, and I heard some people talking about not having enough time and things. And one of the huge things that this program has given me in being abstinence is a lot more time and freedom from the obsession over food. I used to get so pissed off in the beginning, thinking, oh, I have to do my meetings, I have to do this. I really was angry about it. And when I stopped doing the things, thinking, I don't have enough time to make my calls, I don't have enough time to go to 3 meetings this week, I realized that, one, when I am doing it, I have way more time than I thought. I mean, I used to spend tons of time obsessing about food, just hours over it. And the second thing is, when I don't have time for my program doesn't have time for me.
I've also found that I have freedom from financial insecurity, because I suddenly have so much more money. And even though, so I'm just buying food for myself so I can do some organic stuff. And my checking account is, it's crazy. And I don't know, man, I must have spent a whole lot on other stuff. Okay, last tool.
Oh, wait, can I do?
Oh, sorry, yes.
Yeah, well, mine is freedom from chaos. I didn't know I was chaotic. I thought it was because I was one of those artsy-fartsy people, so that's why. No, not at all. And one with freedom from the money issues is sorry if you're from here and you've heard me say it, but I get my mail now every day. I never did that. That's the first thing that started to change, so that, you know, bills are paid on time, or I don't pay so many late fees, you know, or all of my mail gets taken and sent back to the post office so that you lose your magazine subscriptions and stuff like that. And I'm finding my job is changing, and it requires an order I don't have yet, but I'm expecting my higher power to pack it in there, you know, in my brain. And just lots of things are different. I'm going to meetings on time. I'm doing stuff I've never done before because I desire it now. I didn't, because I was running away from it all, you know, so that's it.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so the last tool that we've got is sponsorship. And there was just a meeting on that. So, and again, because of time, we're going to kind of slide past this one. I apologize for that. And I do have some questions that I'll post. And again, you can do answers. But the sponsor is a compulsive eater who, thank God, has 30 days of back-to-back See How abstinence. A sponsor will help you work through the 12 steps. And everyone at See How is sponsored according to the same guidelines. Same guidelines. Sponsors must have 30 days of abstinence, have completed 30 days of questions, and have taken the first 3 steps. To me, this book and the according to the same guidelines is huge. I was in another program, and they didn't do that. Some sponsors allowed some things and some not. So that's my take on that. So I do want to take like 5 minutes for questions. So if you have a question about any of the tools, anything, and let's keep it to questions. And then please use the time here to talk to one another, just like an outreach call. What do you do? How are you handling this? What are your thoughts? Okay, so let's go ahead and do some questions, please.
I just have a question about on my tools. I have both food plan and abstinence. Are they one and the same, or am I missing something completely? Food plan and abstinence. I've got 8 tools of recovery, not 7. Are food plan and abstinence one and the same?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you. But let me answer that for a second, because it's
I just want to say, so I'm a compulsive overeater, what a profound question, right? If you really think about it, it brings tears to my eyes, because, you know, we're abstaining from negative thinking and working this program, so all 7 of the tools is abstinence from a whole nother way of being and living. So that was really profound. Thank you.
So I'm Elaine from Utah, and here's my question for everyone. How many of you in this room
do love to get phone calls? Raise your hands. And yet it's so hard to make them.
I'm Cheryl, Compulsive Eater. On the on the tool of service, and you're given your seven your tools that you did the prior day. Is service to self a tool?
Abstinence is the number one service to yourself. Was that your question? So we have a great ending. Please don't leave. Okay. Worked really hard on that ending. But I also want to share that I like when people have really deep, hurtful grief. I love holding someone over the phone while they're crying. Like people are like, call Sonia Sunshine. Oh, and also, I hear you're a chronic slipper. I was told by your sponsor I should call you. So those are my two phone calls, someone who needs to cry or grieving and chronic slipping. So I like deep phone calls. So we're going to do the ending? Okay, well, you know, part of the ending is also participation. So what in closing, I'd like to hear from you. What is the one thing that you learned, and especially the people who had these? If you could come back to us, what's the one thing you learned and how will you apply it this week? And the thing about this question is, you know, I've sat around here since 1980 waiting for it to happen, not knowing I had to apply it. So that's why I added that second part of that. You know, what is the one thing that you learned and how will you apply it this week? So anybody who asked this question want to raise their hand or did they all leave? No, just kidding.
My name is Lynn. I am a compulsive eater. I'm a very quiet person, and why I came to the workshop was to be more visible and put myself out of my comfort and meet new people. And I'm definitely going to make more phone calls to people I don't know instead of keeping it to the people I do know.
This is Elaine from Utah. If you're having trouble with your food preparation, call me. I have super great recipes.
Can you do a workshop on that next year?
Yeah. We have a comment back here.
Comment. Alrighty.
We want to hear from you if you don't have 7 days.
There was a question asked earlier, and it was, why don't you make phone calls? And I don't make phone calls because I don't want to be disappointed that people don't answer. And the thing that really stood out for me to answer your question was, what one thing you learned was, you should make these phone calls because you're building relationships during good times for when there are bad times. So that's hit me very profoundly. Thank you very much.
Karen, a compulsive eater. I asked the question about handwriting versus typing, and I've decided to not use it as an excuse that I have to know why, which is better and why, what not to do, and that I can just do it and do the work however I can, and maybe it will morph into some calligraphy that will one day be framed. But for now, if I just get it out of my head, that's all that really matters. And I remember when I started See How in 2010, my first sponsor, she said, there are 7 tools of this program. You can make it as easy or as hard as you want on yourself. Leave some out if you want, but it's going to be a harder program for you. So they're just really there to help me. And if I'm willing to do them all, that day is a lot easier when I'm willing to do them. But is the program no good if you don't do one day no phone calls? No. I think we need to be gentle on ourselves, that we do the very best we can, and it will morph into more when we're ready to do it. So I think be kind to yourself as you would be to someone else about maybe not doing it perfectly, because we all know we're not perfect.
Okay, I need to share this with you guys. Sonia, compulsive overeater. Those who don't know me, I can't sit still. My head's crazy, and I wouldn't write because I couldn't put pen to paper, and I was always mood altering, and I was abstinent. And my sponsor said, would read me the question and said, just answer it. And it changed my life. She just let me talk my answer. And so God's sending me sponsees like me, and I want them to write, and they are like not writing. I'm like, well, let's just tell me what you think about the question. I'm so mad about it because it's not like how it's written. You know, but thank God someone did that for me. So right behind you, she's had her hand up too. Okay, go ahead.
I'll just real quickly say, as I heard a comment here, I thought of, and I hadn't thought of this in years, walking to a meeting once that I didn't want to go to, and Dr. Paul, who wrote the thing on acceptance, once said to me, you know, Laura, we don't do this for ourselves. So that's just true with every single thing. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Robin, compulsive undereater, overeater. Hi. One of the things that I got from you when I wrote down right away is if I don't have time for my program, then my program doesn't have time for me. I do things a little differently. I usually go to like six meetings a week. And I call them tricks. And I don't say that there are seven tools. I say that there are eight. And the eighth one is just go to bed. And but one of the things that I've been doing for years is I am the speaker coordinator somewhere. That helps me go to strangers. That helps me go here and ask you if you're available this week, that week, or to call people. If I'm afraid they're not going to answer, I usually call people that are FISMs, food inventory step and maintenance. When I'm in trouble, I call people, and I don't call those outreach calls. I just need to talk to someone. And I have a hard problem with not going deep, and sometimes I'll just call, and I'll just go, do you ever pray? And if you do, what is your prayer? And I'll start writing things down, and in a few months, I have like a line here and a line here that really speak to me, or I'll just go, you know, the writing today, can I read you what I just read as Bill sees it or something like that? So I just need you guys, and I need face-to-face because you guys are so much nicer than my head. And you guys are so nice to me. I can't thank you enough. You know, you've given me a life of non-perfectionism. So thank you.
Thank you. Time for like two more. Bryce, do you want to share with us? I mean, Bryce is I want you to share. Bryce has changed my life, you guys, and helped me get abstinent, and I love him very much.
Okay, what's the topic? Hello, I'm Bryce, compulsive
overeater.
Okay, I'm public information chair, outreach.
He rides the bus, you guys.
Los Angeles County. I'm Area 1 rep.
Delegate. In the rain, he brings milks to meetings on the bus.
Yeah, I do a lot of service at meetings. I've been intergroup rep. I have been literature. I've done a lot of service, and I've done a lot of service all the way back to when I was 5 years old. And it kept peace in the family, and thank God for peace. And I have learned from my sponsor as well that peace is when you start out learning a lot about serenity, which that's what I had to do to calm the peace in my head. It leads towards my sponsor's 1,000-person wedding March 12th, which peace was the theme of his wedding, but that's really what he's going towards is peace. And peace is very, very nice, and peace is very still. And we use our steps and traditions and concepts to gain this peace. And when we don't have any drama, we don't have any negative thinking, we don't compulsively eat over it. We just go along. And when you go out there and you had a lot of drama in your life and everything else, but you walked out there and you got Joel, you got chosen to be on the Happening Dance Show nationwide, national magazine, national television, world champion, 1/2 world championship dance couple, 1/16 of the world championship dance team. If you go on the floor and you have to dance 17 minutes as perfect as you can, and you're throwing ladies 27 feet and bouncing them off the ceiling in Fresno, it takes a lot of serenity. So to me, serenity is the key. And I'm glad when I took first overall for 5.5 years that I never made a mistake. I may have got blamed for everything, but I didn't make a mistake with my dance partner when it got time when I wasn't leader, took off the wrong direction when everybody else was going this way. So let go of the blame too. Thank you. Sorry about my poor ego.
I'm Lynn, and I am a compulsive eater. One thing that I definitely do is, I return all calls that I get. Yeah. You know, just because someone leaves their name, that is not to me a conversation. And newcomers appreciate it so much that someone has done that and acknowledged them. So that's a big one for me. Return all calls.
We have one more, I think, and then we're going to do our ending. Anyone?
I'm Marilyn, compulsive overeater. I was told I use all the tools, and except for one, and because that's in another program. And I said, what's that one? Exercise. And there's none here, and I thought maybe that's why I'm here.
Thank you. I'm a recovering exercise bulimic, and I lost 122 pounds without any exercise, just working our program because I was injured. So anyway, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, and I just want to add, there is something in the Forever Abstinent book about exercise, and that we don't have anything. CHOW doesn't have anything to say about it. That's more of a medical thing. So
before we do the ending, I wanted just to acknowledge something I've heard yesterday and today, that there's people translating, like yesterday during the speaker, and. I was getting triggered. I'm like, what's that? What's that? Why is they talking? And I was like, oh my God, how grateful that we are that we have this in English, and how wonderful that we're translating into Spanish for our Spanish-speaking participants. I know we have Russian people that come to our meetings. I always try to hook them up with Russian people. But it's, can you imagine not having this in your language? So if you're triggered at the meetings and there's conversation in the back, it's usually they're translating. And that helped me just love them up more. And let's just thank our translators and our people from Mexico that traveled all the way out here. And let's give a hand for our leaders. How about it for Maria?
Thank you.
A great program. We love Maria, Maria works a great program, very well known on the Fountain Bridge. Get her number, people. And let's hear it for our wonderful Linda.
Yay.
And for God Calling. So what we're going to do is we're going to do it in silence, and we're going to slowly make one big circle around the room. And we're going to do an ending. So just leave your stuff on the chair, and we're going to start the ending, and we're going to go around clockwise with the microphone, Maria. Sorry, Maria. Surprise. So the first person takes the hand of the person on her left while saying the saying that's up there. Oh, that just fell down. Can someone put that back up? And I'll also pass the saying around. I put my hand in yours so that we might do together what we cannot do alone. Thank you. Oh, so let go of your hands for a second.
Okay. Now you go to her and say it.
Bree, let's see. Bree, I put my hand in yours so that we might do together what we cannot do alone. Brian.
I put my hand in yours so that we might do together what we cannot do alone.
Laura, I put my hand in yours so that we might do together what we cannot do alone.
Thank you.
Terry, I put my hand in yours so we may do together what we could never do alone.
Thank you. Marcy, I put my hand in yours so that we may do together what we cannot do alone.
Sandy, I put my hand in yours so that we might do together what we cannot do alone.
Thank you.
Loretha,
I put my hand in yours
so that we might do together what we could never do alone.
Katie, I put my hand in yours so we can do together what we can never do alone.
Joyce, I put my hand in yours so that we can do together what we could never do alone.
Karen, I put my hand in yours so that we can do together what we could never do alone.
Melissa, I put my hand in yours so that we can do together what we could never do alone.
Roma, I put my hand in yours so that we might do together what we cannot do alone.
Sue, I put my hand in yours so that we can might do together what we can never do alone.
Thank you.
Adele, I put my hand in yours that we might do together what we could never do alone.
Greg, I put my hand in yours so that we can might do together what we can never do alone.
Lisa. Put my hand in yours, sorry, we might do together what we could never do alone.
Ginger, I put my hand in yours so that we can do together what we can't do alone.
Jude, I put my hand in yours so that we might do together what we may never do alone.
Thank you. Rebecca, I put my hand in yours so that we might do together what we can never do alone.
Molly, I put my hand in yours so that we might do together what we cannot do alone.
Thank you. Lupita, ponga la mano mía en la mano tuya para que nosotros juntas podemos hacer lo que nunca podamos hacer por nuestras solas.
Robin, put my hat in your hat so that we may do together what we cannot do alone.
Everybody watch your ears for a second. I'm going to unplug the mic. Oh, actually.
Yeah. Stephanie, I put my hand in yours so we might do together what we haven't been able to do alone.
Oh,
I'm a mess. Oh, Susan. Oh, I put my hand in yours so that we can do together what we could not do alone.
Oh. Michelle. I put my hand in yours so that we may do together what I'm not able to do alone.
Sorry. Linda, I put my hand in yours so that we can do together what we cannot do alone.
Q, I put my hand in yours so that we may do together what we could not do alone.
Lindy, I put my hand in yours so that we may do together what we could not do alone.
Oh, Claire, I put my hand in yours. Because together we can do what we cannot do by ourselves.
Vicky, I put my hand in yours so that we might do together what we cannot do alone.
Cheryl. I put my hand in yours so that we can do together what we could never do alone.
Christina, I put my hand in yours so that we might together do what we cannot do alone.
Doreen, I put my hand in yours so together, sister, we might do what we could never do alone.
Charlie, I put my hand in yours so that we can do together what we cannot do alone.
Nanette, I put my hand in yours so that we might do together what we cannot do alone.
Estella.
Oh, let's see. I gotta have a hand here. Okay.
Just give her hand for a second. Estella, I put my hand in yours so that we might do together what we cannot do alone.
Thank you. Galen, I put my hands in yours so that we might do together, but we what we cannot do alone? Okay, sorry, I confused with my English.
I'll hold the mic. Kathleen, I put my hand in yours so we might do together what we could not do alone.
Marilyn, I put my hand in yours so we can do together what we cannot do alone.
Lee, I put my hand in yours so that we might do together what we cannot do alone.
Joy, I put my hand in yours so that we might do together what we could never do alone.
I figured it out.
Elaine, I put my hand in yours so we can do together what we could not do alone.
Judy, I put my hand in yours so that we can do together what we cannot do alone.
I can't see her. Oh. Cheryl, I put my hand in yours so together that we might do what we cannot do alone.
David, I put my hand in your hand because what we can't do alone, we could do together.
Same thing.
Maria, I put my hand in yours so that together we might do what we could never do alone.
Okay, and Linda M., I put my hand in yours so that we might do together what we cannot do alone.
And Sonia Sunshine, okay, I put my hand in yours so that we might do together what we could never do alone.
And all of you, I put my hand and heart around this whole room so that we can all do this together, that we may never, ever do it alone.